of the Living Geek.
Okay, that's good. And I'm going to do a real introduction because I found out we have a listener.
All right.
We have a listener.
We have many listeners.
I will not lie. I really liked this two-parter, or is it one episode? What do you guys want to classify it as?
Dude, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's one episode. Let's do it as one episode.
But no, so this season I have come to realize, let me take you through my journey with it as told through the tale of the best Christmas present I ever got. Trust me, it's worth it. So my mom, about 8 years ago now, and it's crazy to think it was that long ago, but my mom bought me a Snuggie for Christmas one time, and I was so mad when she got it, because who wants a Snuggie? You know, and so she gets it, and she's like, oh, you didn't like it, but I paid extra and got pockets on it. I'm like, why am I ever going to put something in the pockets of this? I'm not even going to wear this, let alone put pockets on it. Jeez, Mom. She's like, well, I mean, I can return it if you want. And I was like, no, it's fine. Whatever. I'll return it myself. Don't worry. And I just never did. February comes around and it's like 40 degrees outside and I'm in all of my blankets, but I'm playing video games at the same time. So I put the Snuggie on almost out of defiance. Just like, all right, fine. Let's see how it goes. And I will swear to God, it's the most comfortable thing. It's super warm. The pockets.
Yeah, man.
The pockets are great for storing like remote batteries. I wore it to a bar one time for Halloween. I went as comfortable and I put my wallet in it. Like, I swear to God, it was the best gift I didn't know that I wanted. And this season so far, yeah, all right, we're one episode in. I should maybe slow my roll a little bit. But so far, this season is the season that I did not know I wanted.
Yeah, Snuggies are fucking great. And this was a really good, like, usually the first episode is a snooze fest, but this one was pretty good all the way through.
Yeah. I assure you, I'm never going to wear a Snuggie. I'd be fucking sweating my ass off in that thing.
No, that's true.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Oh, no. He's got an excuse. Like, let me check.
No, that'd be way too hot for me.
Oh, my phone's all the way over here. I'm going to check. My mom is a couple hours away from you, but I'm going to check the weather right now in Sun City West, and I guarantee it's got to be 70 degrees.
It's 90 in LA right now.
It's only 66 in Sun City West. That's not bad.
Well, no, that's not the issue. Just like, you know, if I was there, I would.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Doesn't matter. As you mentioned last week, we're going to try and not do just a straight recap. We're going to go more for a conceptual thing. But I like this one from start to finish. I like the homage at the very beginning where they're on the boat, you know, just like the very first season, they're on a sailboat, which is kind of nice and old timey, reminded me of a pirate ship. And they're told, all right, you got a couple of seconds, take what you can get and go. The idea of adding a distraction with the tools out in the back, that was out in the back. Oof. Good job.
Out in the
Nick.
Water.
Yes. Out in the water. Yeah. You know, in the backyard, with all the, all the dolphins. But yeah, that was kind of cool. And actually, I like, all right, this is the first time, I'm going to try these names, and I'm going to try and get them correct. I like that the Mana tribe didn't even bother trying to go for the tools. They just thought, Ozzy's going to go for it. Let's just focus on getting stuff.
And no, that was stupid.
You really? You think so?
Yeah, dude, fucking Ozzy's going for it. You know, just let him have it. Go fucking take it from him. Like, Caleb tried way too fucking late to go stop him.
Yeah, see, that was my thing. Like, if you're gonna forego it, like, keep Caleb on that boat for the last, like, all of it. You know he's not gonna catch up. If he was gonna try, he should have tried right away.
See, the way I was thinking of it is at the very, very start, when they were like, fuck it, who cares? They were able to get more actual supplies, so like more chickens, coconuts, root vegetables, whatever. All the stuff that they can get. They're able to get more supplies at the beginning with that extra hand. And then once the picking started to get slim, I think they realized, all right, we can sacrifice one person to go out and find or and try and get the toolbox just on the off chance that we can do it. And I was really rooting for him too. I thought that would have been a great little underdog story.
Yeah, but they didn't have the person to spare. They didn't get the chickens and they didn't get the toolkit.
Did they?
Yeah. I guess they ended up being okay.
I thought they got some food. I know Ty got the chickens. Because, yeah, of Ty course, Ty would get chickens.
But it was dumb. I didn't hear who, or I didn't see who said it when they were, as soon as, like, well, Ozzy went for it. Nobody can possibly beat him. That pissed me off so much. Like, this is exactly why. I don't know how much you like
Ozzy. Look, you can hate him all you want, but he's a really good swimmer and he's pretty good with knots. So, I mean.
Seriously. If they're all just going to be like, well, Ozzy's here, I can't possibly win, why don't you just go have the vote and give him the money right now?
Oh, no, because you know he's going to shoot himself in the foot. He practically already did, because as soon as his tribe gets on the beach, he starts beefing with Suri again. She starts off, now, all right, I was tiny bit distracted, stuff's going on around here, but so my memory might be off a little bit, and correct me if I'm wrong, but basically she goes up to him and says, hey, are we cool? I mean, it was 8 years ago, ha, 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 right? And he's like, yeah, sure, sure, sure. And as soon as she's gone, he's talking to, I believe it was Ty, and saying things like, yeah, we're going to go for her first, right? We can't trust her, and she's not a physical threat.
Yeah. Yeah. And he starts out by saying, he starts out by admitting it's because of the feud, but then later on he shifts it to being, oh, well, you know, because she's worthless physically, and, you know, we need to keep the tribe strong. Which apparently they don't need to do. They're just stronger anyway.
Yeah. One,
two in a row here.
Oh,
it's kind
man.
Of irrelevant.
Yeah. And then,
but it's like, well, for me, why carry that baggage? It just doesn't make sense to do that.
It's 8 years, dude. Get over it. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. It's.
You know what doesn't make sense? Is it like in a game where there's several winners, they're all still just going on about we need to keep physically strong. You know how many times that has worked? Zero. Why do they all keep fucking thinking that every goddamn time?
Yeah, you're right, because they should know better at this point, where it's like strength is good to get you that initial advantage of like, hey, we're going to have the numbers. But then what they should know is that advantage isn't going to last very long. And apparently we know for a fact it's not going to last very long, because next episode they're switching the tribes up again. So that strength advantage they had is now gone.
Speaking of that, remember when you were like, well, I don't want to pick week two. There's no way in hell they're going to do it that quick.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
Right after that, Nick jokingly said closest without going over. So we'll see. We'll see what,
Price
what
is the right ruling rules. Is. I would actually.
Yeah, but,
well, we've all gone over, so that doesn't.
Yeah.
What I appreciate, though, about Caleb identifies the whole keeping the tribe strong thing in the other direction. That's smart. He wants to keep Tony in, kind of because he trusts Tony more than Sandra, but he rightly says that if we start voting out people that are strong, it exposes the other people that are only here because they're strong. Like, he realizes he's only here because he's strong, and that's the only thing he has going for right now in his game. And he's hiding behind Tony because Tony is also a strong player and a strong physical threat, so he can hide behind Tony. But as soon as Tony's gone, the other people who are there, just because they're strong, like, we've thrown the whole keeping the tribe strong thing out the window at this point. Caleb can go, and Troy Zan can go, like, all these people can just go, because who cares about, like, he wants to keep Tony around and use the keep the tribe strong narrative to protect himself. Not necessarily because he actually thinks that it's what is going to win challenges.
Yeah, see, I kind of disagree, because it looked like, from obviously sitting here watching it, nowhere near on the island, but it looked like the fault lines in that tribe were starting to just naturally form around strength and not strength, essentially. So you had, this is Mana, right? Yeah, so you had Tony and Michaela and Caleb. And, there was one other person who was pretty... Oh, Malcolm. They started to kind of congeal together as a group. But then on the other end, you had the strategic players. Is Jeff one of them? Yeah, Jeff. And I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry for it right now, because I cannot remember anyone's names.
Aubrey.
Or what tribe they're on.
Jeff,
yeah, Aubrey and Sierra and all of them.
Sandra.
They were... Sandra and Haley, they're like, we're not as strong, and they were starting to separate as well. And so he realized, look, yeah, like, I think that's where the impetus came from. He realized we don't necessarily have to be strong, but if we get out one more strong person, then that cements the idea of, oh, strong people are expendable.
Yeah.
So he came to the same I agree with your conclusion. I just think that he came to it in a different way, a different path up the same mountain.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic. Look at them compared to the other tribe. Clearly, the amount of strength they have is not their weakness.
Yeah.
No.
They've got all of it.
Well, they had all of it. Wait, you're talking Mana or Nuku?
Mana.
Oh, yeah.
They have like all of the big people.
No, we also didn't see a lot of Nuku. Brad isn't small. Yeah. Brad Culpepper is not small.
Well, obviously. That's...
yeah, and Ozzy's not a beefy dude, but he's pretty good in challenges. Sierra Dawn Thomas isn't strong, but she's good. JT's got a pot belly now.
Yeah.
But
he has a track. You know, I wanted to mention that for a minute because I remember JT in Token Teens. He was a handsome guy. He still is pretty good, or pretty good looking. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, he really put on some weight. I mean, that was.
He's been eating like a millionaire.
That's true. Actually, I'm going to check real fast. When was Token Teens? That was 2009. So, Jesus, that was. Math is hard.
Eight
years ago. Yeah. I'm real bad at math, you guys. I'll admit it.
Yeah, and he's just older. It's harder to stay in good shape as you get older. You know?
Yeah.
I know what that's about.
Zeke also isn't super strong, but Zeke on Nuku is good because he's still in game shape.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing we learned last time is Zeke doesn't look like, you know, he's not going to be winning any awards, but he can hang in with folks on challenges. He's not going to be a liability the way that, say, Sandra will or...
Or Varner.
Yeah, Jeff. Man, that is disappointing. At least, on the one hand, yeah, at least he knew when he was trying to climb that thing. Look, I cannot carry this thing. It's 400-pound snake and a cute little snake. I'm going to say, I like the look of that thing. It's
just... Yeah, I think he just admitted it. Yeah, I'm not strong enough to pick this up. You're going to have to do it.
Yeah. And then they were all getting squished around on it, too.
I did like Zeke coming into this, like... Like, not only in game shape in terms of challenges, but he came into it saying, what it was like, oh, I want to lather myself in the blood of my enemies.
Yeah. I'm curious.
Yeah, buddy.
When this was filmed, let's see. So this was June 6th. I want to know when the previous season was. Filming dates. Yeah, it ended May 12th. So basically, he had a 1 month turnaround time. So he was still mentally engaged in the game as well. Wow. Yeah. Good for him.
Bathe in the blood of my enemies. I'm like, yeah, buddy, you're out there ready to get vicious straight out the gate. That's fucking great.
Yeah. Wow.
Don't need to, but great.
Ooh, but you think that kind of fatigue is going to affect him going forward? Because, I mean, think about it. He just got off an island that he'd been on for 40 days, eating like garbage, working, doing real, real hard hot heat stuff all day. And now he had 3 weeks to recover. And now he's back out there on a different island. Same island, actually, come to think of it. They're both in Fiji.
Yeah, yes and no. Because the last season, he wasn't in it with the paranoia the entire time. It took him a good week out there out of that month to get into it. And another half a week to another week to really get the paranoia going and get the kingpin, because he was a kingpin for a little while there, and get that rolling. So by the end of this show, if he goes the whole span, he's not going to have had 8 weeks of paranoia. It'll be 5 or 6, which is definitely more than what anybody else at that point will have gone through. But yeah, if he can stay on a winning tribe like this, it's just prolonging that break for him.
I was going to say, for sure, he will not be as paranoid as Tony was.
No. Yeah.
I didn't see his season, and now I can see why people weren't really liking him that much. He's kind of... he reminded me a lot of Rodney.
A dick. You couldn't say it. He's kind of a dick.
Yeah, he's a dick. But also, like, he reminded me a lot of Rodney to the point where he even said, I'm going to be calm and collective a couple of times.
Tony has that get up and hustle, can't stop, won't stop kind of vibe to him, but he doesn't have the misogyny stuff that
that's what I was gonna say.
That Ronnie does. So, I mean, Tony, as just a guy who hustles during this game, proves himself to be very valuable in a lot of instances, in that he'll work hard around camp, he'll work hard for you in challenges, he can't stop, won't stop. The problem is, he can't stop, and he won't stop.
And he has some...
like, it's double-edged sword.
And he has some silly-ass ideas, like building his own little bunker. That was my God. Like, when I was
he did it before.
Oh no, well the thing that they showed is a little spy hidey hole. That made sense. That's a good idea. But his idea, nobody's gonna look if I dig in the ground and cover myself in leaves. That's a thing I would do when I was in elementary school, and I would think, oh well, there are leaves on me, I'm camouflaged, that means people can't see me. It's like, no, we can all see you still. You don't become invisible.
It wasn't that far from tree mail. I would have fucking stepped on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? What if somebody stepped on his face?
And also, it's like, okay, he did it, you know, it was right by the well, because he's like, oh, I want to hear what people are saying. But it's like, people are going there every day. How are you going to build this thing so that they don't see it? Like, was it Troizan? Troizan discovered it almost immediately. And then late in the night, Sandra and I think it was Troy again, discovered it a second time and had to and he had to come up with an excuse, and then they had to come up with even more excuses. And it was silly. Like, I really like that Nuku hit the ground running, and it, I'm sorry, not Nuku, Mana.
Mana.
That's time number one. Everybody, anytime I get these tribes mixed up, take a drink.
Drink.
Right. Drink. Yeah, that's the... Whew. It's a good thing I'm not going to penalize myself points for it. No, Mana, they hit the ground running. Like, Sierra was gaming from the beginning. Tony was gaming from the beginning. Sandra was gaming from the beginning. Even Jeff was kind of going for it, but he mm-hmm. realized in his last one in Cambodia, it's like, oh shit, I'm not good enough for this. These people are playing on another level. I need to take a seat.
Yeah, I like how you say discovered it as if it's not a giant fucking hole in the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh.
See, and my frustration with Tony is that he has some good ideas, and if he were able to keep calm and move forward, then he'd be okay. Like, his idea to form a big threat alliance, right? Get all of the people who were winners together.
Yeah, that was great.
That's a great idea, and that makes perfect sense. No, that makes sense, because Sandra looks at it too, and Sandra also realizes it makes sense. Like, the only way a winner is going to win this again is if they're out there with other winners.
Yeah, right? That's true, but you can't get aligned all the big threats together, because they're all just going to be fucking paranoid of each other all the time. And obviously, it was never going to work for obvious reasons, because it didn't work at all. It immediately fell apart.
It immediately fell apart because of Tony.
Yeah. But the other problem with his plan was that it required, like, JT is on a different tribe. I'm looking at other Ozzy. Oh, no. Ozzy's never won. Haha, sucker.
Only those three have won.
Yeah. Like, those are the only three who have won, and they're on a couple of different tribes. So you can't really count on that to work.
But I mean, not necessarily winners, but big threats. Like, there are people who have targets on their back, and if you're one of those people who has the big target, you know it. If you're Suri, if you're an Aussie, if you're one of those people who's been there out there 3-4 times, then the best way to protect yourself is to be with other people who are in a similar situation, because otherwise it's easy to pick you off. It's build that herd and bring it together, because it's mutually beneficial. Tony can hide behind Sandra, and Sandra could hide behind Tony. And if you don't necessarily have the numbers, at least it's not you that weak. And that might be not necessarily what you want to go for in the long run, but that's Sandra's game. It's just not my week. Just not today. It can be tomorrow, but that's tomorrow. Just not today.
Listen, that's what Sandra said. That's not really true.
Yeah.
Her game plan is, I'm in charge, motherfucker.
Yeah. That's the point. There's a couple folks who said that they were going to learn from their previous mistakes. So, like, Michaela, she was like, I'm going to just sit and not say anything and just be a little bit better of a poker player. She didn't do that. Yeah. She did not do that at all. And you know what? I fucking love Michaela. She is delightful to watch. Sandra, delightful to watch. The way she decided, mm-hmm. you know what? I'm going to just try and not, I know I have a target on my back, so I'm going to just try and redirect that and use that as my thing that people aren't going to vote for me because there's no way I could win. But by now, when she's like, I'm the one in charge, look at me. I'm the captain now. She can't win like this, right? Especially
that
the
was
way
stupid.
Yeah. Like, okay, it was wonderful to watch. Like, that made for great television, the way she was just taunting Tony on his way out. Say hi to Sierra for me. Like, that was wonderful, but there's no way she can win, right?
Yeah. Well, it's endearing and funny when she goes, "That's what you get. Take your ass home."
Yeah.
Like, okay. That's funny, and that's Sandra being Sandra. But then when she says, "And the queen stays queen,"
yeah,
and you're like, "It's a little early for that girl."
I'm really surprised. Really surprised she didn't try and paraphrase Omar from The Wire. When you come at the queen, you best not miss.
Well, she did say when what the hell she said is a quote, like, when the king is the king till the queen comes home.
Yeah,
I'm here. That was very Romulan of her.
I like her. She's like,
I mean, and she is right. Like, at a certain point, she has a target. Like, what is there to lose by doing this? Like, it doesn't make her a bigger target. She's already the biggest target out there regardless.
No, I'm pretty sure that was worse, because now they're like, everyone, and she said that, everyone's like, yep, I'm going to be the one to make her eat that shit.
See, but I mean, but Varner identifies it when it's out there happening. Varner's like, she put together an alliance of five people in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
nobody else does that. And I mean, everybody that's on that beach sees it happening and nobody like says a word about it. They all just kind of let her form this alliance and get Tony the fuck out. Like,
in fairness,
that shit is scary.
In fairness, though, it's not hard to make an alliance against Tony. Only Caleb was even kind of like, yeah. Oh, I like this guy. And, you know, that is, I'll give them credit. Like, I could see that guy being fairly charismatic, especially if you are also kind of a big, tough alpha male kind of guy.
Yeah. I really want Caleb and JT to meet because I think they'd be friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're both good Southern boys.
Whatever. Well,
good Southern boys.
Waiting, you know, for get along, JT get along. And Ty to, I mean, JT. Caleb and Ty to make it to the.
Yeah, merge. I really want them to. And I didn't realize until this started that they're on opposite tribes. I was just like, oh, don't block them out. Ty,
maybe next week.
The only thing I really have to say about Ty is that he does what he does best, which is spill the beans about everything, because Ozzy goes up to him and says like, hey, we should get out, Ciri, for the reasons that you mentioned, Andy, that he's still a little bit hurt over what happened 8 freaking years ago. Yeah. But then Ty says, oh yeah, you should talk to him because I think he doesn't trust you quite as much. He's like, oh, he told you that? And then there's a good like 5 or 10 seconds of silence. I love that. That was just him going like,
deer in the headlights.
No. Like, he knows he screwed up. Like, I remember his season of Cow Wrong. We were going like, oh, is he a really good player? Or is he just really bad and keeps getting it right? And it's like, no, he is really bad. Like, he's great to watch because his badness is very entertaining. It's good-natured badness. Like, there's bad players who go in and they're just like, I'm not here to make friends. I'm going to be a jerk to everyone and you're going to respect me for it. And it's like, no, why would we respect you for that? And then there's bad players like Ty who are just like, cannot keep a secret to save his life.
Yeah, can't keep a secret, can't come up with shit on the fly. Like, all the things that you really do need to do with this game, he just doesn't do.
Yeah. God bless you, Ty. I hope this is his year, but it won't be, but I really hope it is.
Yeah. But then that gets around, like, Ciri's out there on that beach trying to find a dancing partner, and she just cannot get fucking anything going at all. Like, she goes to half the tribe and like nobody is interested. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, sure, cool. And then confessional, I don't trust Ciri.
Well, that's because of what she did in, not Heroes and Villains, Fans and Favorites. Because they saw her as being the person behind that alliance, especially towards the end, which is true. I mean, she's the one that engineered Eric getting voted out. But both seasons she's been in, that I've seen at least, I don't know, apparently this is her fourth time. I didn't see her most recent one. But both the seasons that I've seen her in, she's had the same slow start, where people are like, oh, I don't trust her, and she's not physical. Let's get rid of her. She's dead weight. But she managed to throw people under the bus and get through it. And then once she's locked in, people love her. Like, because she is a genuinely nice person, and she has a certain set of skills. In this case, being a nurse. Like, she can get through to people, and she can prove her worth far beyond like just performing well in challenges.
Yeah, and that's the thing I kind of forgot watching this too. Like, right now, a lot of what's going on in terms of like forming alliances and voting people out and looking at threats is based on reputation. They haven't had time to really just like sit on the beach and bullshit for 3 weeks. Like, pretty soon here, they're going to be fucking bored of everything. It's just going to be hanging out. And who do you like? Who do you want to spend time with? Like, balance that in there too. And that's when Ciri's gonna be good, because she'll be nice and friendly with everyone, and she'll grow on people. Right now it's pure reputation, but she is going to grow on people.
Yeah, and hey, I mean, like as I said, if you get a cut, it's nice to know that she can be there and say like, man, that's not gonna get infected. You're fine. Remember?
Yeah.
Oh shoot, what was this? Shane. Shane had some chafing issues. And she was able to diagnose all of that for him and tell him, all right, this is what you're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wear your shirt as pants and just stay out of the water for a little while, because that makes it worse. And it's like, that is an incredibly valuable skill. If you're going to be out there for 40 days, tell you when a rash is something that you should worry about. Tell you, hey, you've got a little fever, or no, you're fine. Just go out there and go through.
So Brian, have you turned around on Ozzy yet?
What? No, I hate him.
Because you talk about this all the time. When somebody gets voted off of the opposite tribe and they show up to the next challenge, and they're all like, "Oh no, I don't believe it." And you hate that. You were established as having hated that. But I couldn't help but laugh my ass off when it happened. Ozzy says, "I knew it."
It's like he took it to a whole new level.
You knew it? You called that? Like what? Fuck.
I would love to have seen the scene. Like I demand video evidence of them just sitting around the fire or whatever for a day, just going like, I think it's going to be Tony. I think it's going to be Troy. And this is me as my Aussie. I
think it's going to be Sandra.
I think it's going to be, no, you guys are all wrong. It's going to be Sierra. Okay. Here's the thing. Sierra, she hit the ground running really, really hard, just like her last season that she was on. And that's what ended up getting her voted off. That said, I'm so happy she's off only because it means just one Sierra.
Get your wish.
Right?
I don't. I was gonna say. I will not get them mixed up. I won't. Thank God, because they're going to be mixing tribes next week. If they had done that and they had both been on the same tribe, I would have been in hell. So hey, Sierra Easton, I hope you are in one more season at some point in the future because, you know, you play this game well and you deserve to do well. Maybe don't hit the gas quite so hard from the start. But that said, for right now, I'm very glad you're gone. Alternatively, hey, if Sierra Dawn Thomas had been voted off first, I would be just as happy. Actually, no, I wouldn't. She's on my team, so I wouldn't be. Yeah. And, ooh, hey.
She's got the legacy advantage.
That's the other thing. Thank you. Yeah, that's a good segue. So this legacy advantage seems a little bit more restrictive than the last one. It can only be used, when there's 6 people or how? 10?
13.
13, thank you. I couldn't quite remember. I feel like 13 is going to be a little bit more valuable.
That's a big merge tribe.
Yeah, no, but it's going to be more valuable because odd numbers, there's a 6, there's going to be a 6-7, so she can be that swing vote.
Oh, yeah.
6 is going to be a little bit more a little bit better if she can get that far because that's 3-3, so she can ensure that she doesn't get a tie. But
yeah, and the legacy advantage was played in the season with Jessica and Ken. The idea of having it way at the end sounds really awesome, but the odds of you being there way at the end are pretty low, and the odds of it being useful for you if you end up with it are probably pretty low too, because if you're charismatic enough to get it from somebody else, then you're probably in an okay situation. Like Ken played it for shigs when he did it. It's like, why not? It's the last chance, and he had absolutely no need of it.
Yeah. I like that they just straight up said, this is exactly what it's going to do. And these are the 2 times that you can play it. No more of this, like, shoot, who had it in the last one?
It was Jessica and then Ken.
Jessica, yeah. So, wow. You guys and your memories. Like, as soon as the season is...
They were both on my team.
As soon as the season is over, everyone is expunged from my brain. All right, so is there
anyone... And luckily, we do have a crazy psycho person this year, too. Debbie. Within, 30 seconds, described herself as a racehorse and a giant squid.
My God.
And we're already getting into her litany of previous jobs.
The silence you're hearing right now is me trying to think of something not mean to say, but I just... she has this... I'm going to be constructive with my criticism of her here. She has... creative delusions, where she's like, oh, I'm the most agile person, and they know me from my season where I had the agility of a monkey and the tenacity of a racehorse and all this other stuff. It's like, no, you hung in all right on challenges, don't get me wrong, you did okay, but you weren't the best person. You weren't the smartest, fastest. You weren't the most experienced. You don't know how to build shelters. Like, she's on Nuku. She was not there trying to build the shelter. That was JT and I'm going to say Sarah. I'm almost certainly wrong, but we didn't get a whole lot of Nuku time because, they won both of the challenges. We didn't need to get too much of them.
Because this was the Tony and Sandra show.
Shit. Also, I got them wrong. It's not... No, it is Nuku. Yay. Wow. God damn it.
Yeah, it's Nuku. Nuku. Bluku Nuku.
No, well, I saw Suri. I'm like, no, she was definitely a tribal council. I was like, no, that's not correct at all.
No, she wasn't. Not even once.
Not even once, which is good for her. That gives her some time to make those connections she needs. But yeah, I don't know. So,
I mean, yeah, Debbie is good TV. She's entertaining on the tribe. Really? And she's fine to carry as a goat, but it is annoying as a viewer when she matters. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm fine with her being there. I'm fine with laughing at her list of jobs. I'm fine with laughing at her calling herself a giant squid. But my God, I don't want her to call a shot ever.
Yeah. And the more you mention it, the more I'm remembering what I did not like was the fact that about her last season that she was on was that somehow, some way, she kept finding herself as the swing vote and would just say, this is the person that's going to go. And it's like, death by Debbie is not the way to leave this game.
Yeah. Because then she thinks she's some kind of genius, and she wasn't. It's just that there were two alliances, and she wouldn't fucking pick one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very frustrating. I guess really the only other person worth mentioning, because I didn't see his season, is Malcolm. And I like this guy.
Yeah, he finds himself in a really good place. He's kind of been around both sides of the Troy-Sandra fight, and he's proven himself really good in both of the challenges. Good all-arounder.
I'm just hoping, like, he can keep it up. Because, you know, he didn't seem to be taking initiative. Like, he was just like, oh, Tony, I'm going to let Tony tell me what to do. And then, now that Tony's gone, maybe he'll be able to actually take a leadership role. But I don't know. That said, so yeah, he's a good guy.
What is there anything you guys thought Tony could have done to save himself? Sierra's gone because Sierra plays too hard. And that's something that always puts a target on your back. So the first tribal, I think we can more or less write off. The thing that really was great at first tribal is that Michaela was able to convince her tribe mates that she did not go crazy. She just got a little alarmed.
Yeah. Well, even that.
That bodes well, because that's a skill too.
She pouted a little bit, but it's like, that's totally understandable. She went crazy. Yeah, she did. But
no,
but
it isn't. No, like, they were like, all nine of us are voting for her. It doesn't matter what the hell she wants to do.
Consider yourself in this situation. And remember, you've been in this game before if you're her. And people go, all nine of us agree we're all voting for Sierra. That never happens.
That sounds like bullshit. Like, that sounds like me.
When you, like people say, oh, we're going to split votes. Or we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Or it's one of these two people. They never say, we are all eight of us united against her. With you, it'll be nine. She's gone. When that someone says that to you, you instantly get paranoid because you're like, what are you really saying?
Yeah, but if they're going to say that to you and they're lying, they're not going to tell you or the person the other person's voting for. Yeah. They're going to make up some shit. And the reason wasn't – oh, I mean, they lied. They were like, it was Sierra's idea to vote for you. That's not true. The reason they picked her is because she wasn't standing there when Sierra came up to them.
Yeah. But you have to remember, Brian, that Michaela's situation here too. Michaela was voted out by a group of idiots. And Jay proved himself worthwhile for quite a while into the game. He got better as the game went on and he got more likable. But for the most part, Michaela was taken out by a gang of idiots. So you can say, like, oh, come on, it wouldn't be that dumb. But from Michaela's perspective, everybody's kind of stupid. Like, half of the people on her season were fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So she would believe that was the play. I could see her going that way.
She has been a victim of stupidity before. Other people's stupidity, I should point out. My bad. she didn't do anything wrong. She just overplayed her hand and overestimated her friendships.
And at the end of the day, you can't contain greatness.
Yeah, damn it, I was going to say that.
Ugh, took it from you. I love my girl Michaela.
Ah, she is great.
God, especially in confessionals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when she can just say whatever she wants to say, because she knows the people in the camera, or like that operate the camera, they're not going to rat her out. So she can just say, like, these are all a bunch of morons. Like, did you catch her? She and Troyzan were carrying wood, and she's like, so what's your name again, Troyzan? Is that your real name? I was like, bravo. Bravo. You play the idiot and you make them think, oh, she doesn't know. I mean, maybe she wasn't actually playing, but in my head canon, she was playing. She may genuinely not have known that his real name was Troy, but still, it's like, I want to believe. Which reminds me, I wasn't paying enough attention. I should look at this next time. But are they calling him Troy or Troyzan in his little not diacritic? What's the word we learned from the election? Chiron.
On the screen?
Yeah, the screen. His little Chiron.
It says Troyzan, I think.
Troyzan? All right, cool.
Yeah.
None of the players are calling him that, though, so it's okay.
Yeah. Good. Good. Troyzan is a dumb nickname. But
I don't follow your logic. I don't see how her pointing out that she instantly noticed that sounds like a fake name is playing stupid.
Oh, and it's just more the way she said it. Like, if you watch it again, you'll understand, because she came across kind of as, is that your real name? Instead of just like...
I think you're just playing for small talk.
Yeah, could have been. In my mind, though, she is a super genius, so screw you all.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. That's why I got her on my team.
Yeah.
is there anything that could have changed in the second tribal? Is there any way Tony could have saved himself?
No. No, not even a little bit. Like, maybe point out Sandra more, but I don't think so.
But all those other big guys are good liars. Every single one of them is like, yep, we definitely need to keep physically strong people.
Yep. Caleb.
And lying bastards all voted for Tony.
Yeah.
And why the hell was Tony the second person that voted for Aubrey? What the hell was that?
I don't understand why Sandra voted for her. Like, there was no need.
Because they were splitting the vote in case she had an idol. But why the hell was he voting for her?
Oh, that's a good question.
That doesn't make any sense. Why wasn't he voting for Sandra?
Like, I know other folks. They must have incepted it into him, because other folks were talking about voting Aubrey, because they saw that Aubrey and Tony were getting close, and they're like, we should go for her. But why would he fall for it? That's the crazy thing. And then everyone else votes for him. Eh.
Maybe it's the whole anybody but me thing. Maybe he heard Aubrey's name. It's like, well, fuck it.
That's true.
I know it ain't going to be Sandra.
What I was going to say, though, is
she had a great look when her name was up the trash. Oh, fuck.
Hey. I like that she said, Sandra says into the camera, don't worry, you're just the fake. I have to put your name down so that he thinks you. I still don't understand why she had to do it, but whatever. Oh, yeah, you're right. The split vote thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Which still didn't make any sense. Well, I guess they were just giving her one, but I guess one would be enough if he played an idol if everyone else voted for him.
Yeah, because probably...
At the very least, it would force a tie.
He probably thought, they probably thought that Tony would vote for, like, I don't know, let's just say Malcolm. Obviously, he wouldn't do it, but let's just say he voted for Malcolm. And then he plays the idol. They would have to choose between Malcolm and Aubrey at that point if they only had the one vote, and that would be bad. So this way, if he has an idol, it's definitely Aubrey and not somebody that they actually like. Anything else we want to say before we move on to fantasy?
Yeah. What do you think about the, you know, there's only one, you know, we don't take a second vote now if we tie. I think it's no big fucking deal because the ties rarely ever happen.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I think it's more of a, hey guys, don't overthink things kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, they have to split the vote in a different way, but I don't think it's going to affect things too much overall. I mean,
like, they're making a big deal about it. Like, this is some crazy thing they're putting in. Like, whatever.
I think it's going to matter. I think it's going to matter early after the merge, when you have this big unwieldy group, and the idea of splitting a vote can result in like a 3-3-2, you know, and that's going to be too dangerous and too unwieldy of a thing. So you're going to have to, like, instead of doing like a 3-3-2 or 3-3-1, those stragglers are going to have to find a place so that they don't force that. Because nobody wants to draw rocks. So you're going to have to either get rid of those stragglers or not split the vote or change your plan. But it's not going to matter towards the end. It's not going to matter before the merge, I don't think.
No, it's still bullshit. Okay, look, you know how many times somebody's changed their vote on the second vote? Once. And that was in the first fucking season. Okay?
Yeah, I don't think... So let's see.
They're just saving time by doing this, really.
In the previous season, or last season, they had one go to rocks. And then in the season before that...
They didn't notice it.
Right. And then the season before that, they almost had it go to rocks, but it didn't because they came up with a unanimous decision and got rid of Keith. Wait, was that how it ended?
That's right.
I think it was Keith.
Was it Keith?
I think so.
I don't remember who Keith is. So,
Keith is the dude from Louisiana, the good old boy who made friends with all of made friends with all of the natives and didn't hang out with the other survivors after he got voted out. He was just like,
there's like a good old boy every season. I can't keep track of them all.
That's a fair point. Yeah. He was that season's good old boy, though. All right, cool. So we'll go on to fantasy. And Andy, you recap bets because I don't remember what they are.
So there's only three bets right now. So the first one is the Deadpool, which is first. We each pick a person. The whoever's person gets voted out first gets 3 points. I picked Brad Culpepper. I don't know, whatever. Brian picked Ozzy, which is definitely not going to happen, but maybe. And Nick, you picked Sandra, which was the closest. It was the closest, but yeah,
no, it
ended up being 8-2.
How was it the closest? She received a single.
She had no votes cast against her.
Of the three of ours, at least Sandra went to tribal.
Twice, well, no less. That's a good point.
Let me ask you something. Wait a minute, because why the fuck did none of us pick Tony?
I honestly don't know. I know I picked Sandra because she won twice.
I expected Mana to win. I expected Mana to win the immunity challenges. So I was like, Tony's got the biggest target, but I don't think he's going to go to tribal.
I remember. Right. I said I picked Ozzy because that's what I was hoping would happen.
In hindsight, I should have picked Tony because he is kind of a jerk. Well, all right, because, whatever, we covered that.
All of them in their videos said that they're afraid of Tony.
Yeah, but since I had never seen his season, I was like, oh, Sandra's the devil I know. I'm going to pick her. So, and I was close. But she went to tribal twice.
She did do exactly what Andy said in the first tribal. You guys should take me to the final. You're going to vote for me a third time.
Yeah.
Man, if she wins a third time, she, like, how much do you think that's going to piss off Russell if she wins three times? Right. And he can't even win once.
Ah. Fantastic. The second bet we have going is drop your bets, which is when they reshuffle the tribes. I said week 3, Brian said week 5, or episode 5, and Nick said week 4. Turns out it's going to be episode 2.
So what the hell? No one gets any points.
You know what? This is what makes,
feels like next week.
This is what makes me think that they really do change it up on the fly, depending on what happens. Because they blew all their Tony versus Sandra Wad in the first fucking episode. So, like, well, goddamn, now we have to make something else happen.
See, but even if you have a 10-7, you're benching through. That's not too bad. Even if we go into next week and they do a tribal and then they shuffle it up, but they have to shuffle it before tribal. So, 10-8. This is too early even to do it on the fly. They were planning to do it this early.
No, I'm telling you, say it's on the fly. That's why they got the votes, and they were both of them were unanimous. So they're like, fuck this. They're working too well together. We have to fucking shake them up.
I'm kind of with Brian on this. I think they saw, first off, that one tribe is just getting physically dominated, and then also that tribe is somewhat unanimous, and there isn't enough friction. And so, you know what? Let's do it a little earlier. Like, I bet you they were going to wait 3 or 4 before mixing it up. But this way, they can ensure more alliances, more Rubik's Cube combinations.
Okay. Then, Brian, you now have your if that's what you believe, then you have your definition of game changers. Because last week you were saying it's the game, you play it. How do you change it? Like, you thought the name of this was dumb. But you were saying now that Sandra is so good at this game that she has beaten the producers. She's literally broken the game to the point where they have to reshuffle the tribes after one episode. So then you have your definition of a game changer, and it has to be Sandra.
No, I'm not saying this is 100% Sandra's fault. You are. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, Sandra, like, this second vote was all Sandra running the fucking, like, she broke this game.
That's another. The other tribe did not hear her say that stupid shit at the end of Tribal Council.
Sorry, anytime you even mention, stick around. Anytime it even gets mentioned, I giggle because that was amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, the third bit we had going is gear and goods. Whether or not somebody will get an advantage or find something during the scramble for stuff at the beginning of the episode. Brian and I both said, yes, that would happen. Nick said, no, it would not. So Brian and I both get 3 points.
Yeah, I was just being contrarian.
Who was it that, like, dropped it and stepped over it?
It was Andrea? All right, cool. Yeah, I just noticed there was a woman that I didn't recognize.
She didn't drop it. It was just under the thing she was holding.
She picked something up and it was on the ground. She literally stepped over. And then, like, a couple seconds later, Sierra Dawn Thomas came over and was like, oh, hey, I'm just going to scoop this up and put it in my jeans.
I think actually nobody actually saw her do it, too, is the crazy part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can, in a big scramble like that, I understand how just, I mean, nobody's going to question you bending down and picking something off the ground. That's what everybody's doing, is just picking shit up off the ground. But yeah, maybe the shoving it in your jeans is a little bit of a tell right there. All right. So then fantasy. Brian, you have Caleb, Andrea, and Jeff. Brian, you got 6 points from Caleb because he went to tribal twice and survived. You get 2 points from Andrea because her tribe won immunity twice. And you get 6 from Jeff because Jeff went to tribal twice and survived both times. You also get 3 points from the gear and goods bet, which gives you 17. You are in the lead.
For the first time ever.
Mark this day in your calendars, everyone. I am winning.
You're going to lead wire to wire.
How long this will last. I'm in second. I get 6 from Michaela because she went to tribal twice and survived both times. I get 2 from JT and 2 from Zeke because they won both immunities. And I get 3 from the gear and goods bet. That all added up is 13. Nick, you're in dead last with 12. You get 2 from Ozzy, 4 from Sierra Dawn Thomas because she went to both. She won both immunities, but she also found immunity. So you get the bonus points that we just added this season. You get 6 from Aubrey for going to tribal council twice and surviving both times, and you get nothing from the bets. So you get 12, I get 13, Brian gets 17. Nick, you are first up on the waiver wire. Anybody you want to add drop? You have Ozzy, Sierra, Don Thomas, and Aubrey.
Man.
Some of the big highlight players available, Sandra, just because she's in a position right now. Malcolm.
Oof. Yeah, I think I'm going to – like, okay – I think I'm going to stand. I feel like I should drop Ozzy because of the Suri drama, but I also think that he might be able to survive that drama. And if he does, he'll be pretty good until he inevitably shoots himself in the foot. And more importantly, we can stop saying Sierra Dawn Thomas, and we can just say, delete, delete, delete.
Sierra.
Yay. So yeah, I'm going to stick with what I got.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to drop in, you'll be Aubrey, but Aubrey is in the same position she was last season, just constantly on that edge, but finding a way to have it not be her and maneuvering just enough, which is what you want, because in this game, fire is your life. Okay. Oh my God. No, but she doesn't do well in the challenges necessarily. She's constantly finding herself at tribal, and it's never her.
That's not because of her. That was because Tony and Sandra are crazy.
But that kind of player gets you points. That gets you the more points in this game. Is going to tribal and surviving. That's why you have 17 because you got two shitty players.
Did you write Haley as Halo? Halo.
Yeah, my stupid autocorrect. there we go.
I've got
Michaela, JT, and Zeke. I'm going to sit on Zeke and I'm going to sit on JT. Michaela, I'm iffy about because she has exposed herself a little bit, but I am confident because everybody was like, I don't know about the Michaela. She's a little freak. She's a little weird right now.
Well,
but she was obviously able to talk to her tribe and calm them down, which means that she is in with a couple people and she's okay.
If that's how you feel, I will trade you Ozzy for Michaela.
No, because I do not want Ozzy. I do not want somebody who's out there for the fourth time. I don't care that he's never won.
Fair play.
Yeah. So I'm going to stamp out at 13. What about you, Brian?
My people are fine. At least I think we have no idea what's going on in the Nuku tribe because we saw it for like 5 seconds. But Andrea was only on screen for like a quarter of a second the whole episode, so I'm pretty sure she's safe.
At least she spoke.
Did she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing her name in the lower screen corner, so she spoke.
Ow. And then Caleb and Jeff are, not the ones on the bottom of that tribe. So,
all right, we're all happy.
Focus is going to be on Sandra now because Tony's gone. So, well, except they're all splitting up. God damn it, that ruins my whole plan.
I know. Who the fuck knows next week?
Anything can happen in the land of Survivor. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, all right, cool. So it sounds like we are pretty good. So just to recap, Brian has 17, Andy has 13, and I have 12. So in that case, we will see you guys next week. Take care.
Night of the Living Geek.